Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now we're going to continue on our series today in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at verses 38 through 42. If you have your Bible handy, please open it up for me. It'd be great to read along, and I think I'll actually do that first. I'm going to read through the scripture like we have in previous videos, and we're going to come back, we're going to look at the historical context, how and why this was relevant to the people of the time, but also ask the question, how and why is it relevant for us today? This is what we really want to know, isn't it? 2,000 years later, how does this apply to us today? Well, let's dig in. Verse 38, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Verse 39, "But I tell you," here's where he flips that lid, "not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to them the other also." Verse 40, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And whomever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." And verse 42, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Now we've all heard this, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Let's have a look at that. Why does he say, "You heard it said"? Well, it was part of the law, the law given to the Jews, so that they would understand proportional punishment. Let's read and have a look. I'm in Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. I'll read from here. "If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm comes, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judge determines. But," here's the key, verse 23, "if any harm follows," this could be, of course, for the woman or the child, "then you shall give life for life. An eye for an eye," verse 24, here it is, "a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." And this whole section is about, as I mentioned, what we would call proportional punishment. And it was there because, well, let's just put ourselves, guys, if we can, put ourselves in the foot of the husband, in the shoes, the sandals, as it would be, of the husband. Our wife is out, maybe got the children with her, but she has another child. She's with child. And there's a fight nearby, and it spills out onto the street, and harm comes to her or the child. What are we going to want to do? Yeah, grr, double grr. And I'm being nice. I know and I remember what it's like to have that kind of anger in me. You've hurt my family. You want blood. You want your pound of flesh. So here when Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," he's referring to this section from Scripture, also in Leviticus 24 and Deuteronomy 19. And he's referring to this, which is talking about how we would limit retribution. Because if it was left to our emotions and our flesh, well, that wouldn't be so good for the other person, would it? Now, for most of us, we understand that. And at least there has been some point in our time, in our past, where "you hurt my wife, you hurt my family. Oh, yes, I will hurt you. That's what I want to do." But this was given for proportional punishment for a crime. And Jesus says, "You heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a..." You know this. And I knew this before I'd even picked up a Bible. I'd heard it said. People still say it now, "But the Bible says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." Yes, but in verse 39, Jesus says, "I tell you, but I tell you," he says, "not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also." I don't understand. What is the deal with that? If we take a moment and we pause and we remember the change that came in each of the previous sections of this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, they're all talking about what? The heart of the matter. You see, if someone harms my wife or my kids, my head and my heart, they go to war. But Jesus here is saying, I need you to change that. The head and the heart, yet again. We need to put him first and know that our strength comes from a position of faith. Faith first. That's the word, I think, for today. Faith first. Not head, not heart, not emotion, but faith first. Understanding that I am to be the light, the salt, the representative of Christ here on earth to others. Therefore, it must be, the proportional response must be faith first. There is no choice on that. So we respond with dignity. We respond with strength from that place of faith. And I think, and I've heard of this many times now, of various court cases where someone has died at the hand of another. And whether it's a husband or a wife or a child or a family member. And another stands in and says to the judge, it's sentencing, judge, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I don't condemn this man. I don't. And I know this from a personal situation and circumstance within my own family, that they would turn to, that this would turn to the accused who had killed a family member and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's faith first. That's an example from there. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let them have your cloak also. So here we see an example again of being Christ-like as our proportional response. It's not being a doormat. It's not what I'm talking about. It's showing Christ. I think of Luke 17. Luke 17 comes to mind. Now, you'll know this part, the first section of Luke 17. Jesus is speaking. He says, if someone does the wrong thing by you, and well, they then repent, you forgive them. And if they do it again, but they repent, forgive them. And they do it again, but they repent, forgive them. Seven times, he says there in Luke 17. In another section of Scripture, seven times 70. Now, that's a hard thing for us to do. But what I want to use for illustration purposes, I think it's in verse 5 of Luke 17, Peter's response. His response wasn't, Lord, how do we do that? His response was, Lord, increase our faith. Because our faith is in that God will deal with it. Our faith first attitude says, this is my response. Father, I leave this with you. And that is so different, of course, from our head and our heart. I think of another example, which I remember Tom, I think was the name, church-going man, elderly gentleman, moves house, it's just him now, and loves to tend the gardens in his new home, beautiful, nice little plot out the front, got the veggie garden, got the flower gardens, and so on and so on. But it was one of those places where, you know, a new estate, and the neighbor, I don't know, have you ever been in a situation where your neighbors are not so neighborly? I know I have in the past, and in this particular case, this fellow Tom, his neighbor, not so neighborly. Worse yet, the neighbor's dog, I think it was a terrier of some sort, and a terror of a terrier, and it would, you know, there was some fencing, loose fencing of some sort, but it would continually break out, get in, and destroy the gardens, the veggie garden, the flower gardens, again and again, and Tom's going like, you know, mate, can you help me out here? Try and keep the dog in, and the dog gets out, destroys the gardens. And look, can you please keep an eye on the dog? Now, if this were me, certainly in my younger years, I probably wouldn't deal with it in such a godlike manner. But what Tom did in this particular case was he took a different strategy. Faith first said, all right, God's going to deal with this. But understanding, and this is how this is now applicable for us in today's age, understanding he also had to do his part and show that Christ-like love. So he goes over there midweek, and the neighbor's like, okay, here we are again. Here's old mate. He's going to have another go at me about my dog. But Tom, he takes that different tact. He says, look, I want to see if I can help you out. I've got some things in the shed, some tools and bits and pieces. How about I come over on Saturday if you're available? And look, I'd love to give you a hand to just fix up and shore up the fencing and keep the dog in. I mean, look, the gardens are one thing, but it'd be terrible if he got out and got run over. That'd be the worst. If it's okay with you, can I perhaps give you a hand to do this and we'll work on it together? Now, at that point of time, Tom's neighbor did not know that Tom was a church-going man, you know, a churchy. He didn't know that. But he saw something that he'd never seen before, and of course that was the love of Christ. And there was forgiveness there, and then there was a willingness to help and to turn the other cheek, so to speak. And they developed a friendship from this, which of course Christ and church came out of it. Now, I don't know whether the other fellow ever got saved or not, I've got no idea. But that's a great example, which I heard, of how we could or should be in these difficult situations. Let's have a quick look at verses 41, 42. Let's see if we can wrap this up to try and understand what we can do with this teaching. Whomever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Just a side note, interesting word, compels. What does that really mean? I mean, do we get compelled? It's the same word I found interesting as I was studying this that was also used in that section of Scripture. Can't remember where, but Jesus is carrying his cross. He's heading to the hill for crucifixion. And Simon of Cyrene was there, and they compelled him to help him carry the cross also. So I get the feeling this isn't just, hey, bro, would you mind just carrying this for me? Would you mind just doing this? No, this is fair. This is pretty strong language that's being used just here. And it's really difficult for us to not want to bite back if someone bites at us, but instead to not respond with the aggression, but to respond with love. Verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And the key word in here is who asks you. This isn't referring to someone, hey, would you mind, you know, hey, give me a shirt, bro. No, it's not that. It's begging. This is from someone who is in need. And because we know from other areas of Scripture, I've got a note here, Matthew chapter 7, we talk about not casting our pearls before swine. Also in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So this is not just for the lazy one who's not doing his part. This is someone who can't. And we've all seen it. People on the street, people in need, asking for something. Well, if you can, don't just give what they're asking. Give double. Give more. And, of course, you pray about that. And I'm not talking about the town drunk who is just choosing every day. We can love on him a different way. I've sat down and had many conversations with people in that situation. There was a time where I was living in a homeless shelter. 6 months. I remember that. And I have never forgotten that. And so now walking the street, if opportunity allows, I will just sit and chat. How you doing? You know, that can be more than anything. I'm not going to give him money for drugs. I'm sorry, I'm not. But that time, it's invaluable. And so we need to take this and reflect upon it and go, well, what does this mean for me? Some people have misinterpreted this and said, well, you know, that means you've got to be a pacifist, and that means that if somebody strikes you, you've got to, here, hit me again here. No, it's not referring to that. This is not speaking against self-defense. This is not speaking against fleeing from harm. Not at all. I have in my notes, you know, a dozen or more scriptures that talk about and against what that kind of teaching is. It's not that. This is responding with love. This is responding with Christ. We look at the beginning. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, Jesus says, flipping that lid, faith first. That's what I want you to take home from this. That is to be our proportional response, whether it's in our relationships, husbands with your wives. Oh my goodness, I want to slap some of you sometimes the way I hear you speak to your wives. It just blows my mind that you should do that. And ladies, I shake my head when I hear the way some of you treat your husbands. I'm talking people in Christ here. This is not a judgment against those in the world. It's got nothing to do with them. This is for Christ's people. And I'm guilty of this myself, which is why it hurts so much. Fathers, with your children, oh my goodness, I'm constantly having to remind myself, and I thank God for my beautiful wife who will gently remind me also that I should not exasperate my children when I'm frustrated with them. Faith first is the proportional response. Faith that God is doing a work in them just as He is in you. What about in our workplace or online? Oh my goodness, online interactions. Tap, 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 tap. It's not loving sometimes, is it? You look at the comments, not loving. From Christians, not loving. My goodness. Folks, this section of scripture here, we need to, if something's getting at us, wrapping up, if something's biting at us, digging at us, burning in here, we want, our flesh wants, we need to turn that around. We need to turn around with prayer, with study in the Word, community support through our church. Speak to others if it's really digging in and causing an angst and you know, bringing up that root of bitterness. Talk to someone about it. We should not harbor such. That's what this is talking about. All right, folks, thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining with me. We'll continue on this series again shortly. Talk soon. God bless. Bye-bye.